Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It was a little start, a little less enthusiastic than maybe I had hoped for, but I won't have you do it again like I did last week. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. So, on the first Sunday in Advent, we heard from the Apostle Paul that the end is near, and so we wait. On the second Sunday, we heard that we wait in hope, knowing for certain what is to come. And now, today, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, comes to tell you, once again through his Apostle Paul, that that coming day will reveal all the things you have been hiding and disclose the hidden purposes of your heart. Now, that might sound a bit frightening to you, understandably so. Nobody likes to air their dirty laundry, as it were, and to think that this is exactly how this old world will wrap up might not sound all that appealing. But there it is, in plain black and white. The Lord will bring to light the things hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. If you need further assurances of this from the Scriptures, our Lord himself says in Matthew 12, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. St. Paul also touches on the subject in Romans 14, saying, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. And there are many similar passages throughout the New Testament. Now, to segue, just momentarily, to some catechetical concerns. When St. Paul writes this, he is not knowingly addressing, as it were, the themes of Advent. That's our context for reading it, but it was not his context for writing it. The church had yet to begin celebrating Advent as part of its yearly cycle when Paul wrote these words. What he was addressing was, among other things, the nature of the office of the holy ministry. All right, that sounds a very fancy way of putting this, but he was addressing the nature of the office which he and the other apostles possessed and which they passed down to those whom they ordained, the office of preaching and teaching the word of God, including administering the sacraments. The church in Corinth had been breaking into factions based on who had taught them, right? You may remember this from Corinthians, from 1 Corinthians, you know, saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter. They had been turning their ministers into a cause for tribalism, to which Paul responds, is Christ divided? And so he says here, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, what does it mean to possess the office of the holy ministry? Well, it means first to be a servant of Christ. Now, interestingly, this is one of the few times in the New Testament when the word being translated for us as servants is not the word for slave, but rather the word for an official. This was the term used for everybody from soldiers on up to governors, a servant in the governmental sense. So, servants of Christ, not of themselves or of anybody else, and stewards. Stewards of what? Stewards of the mysteries. Well, what mysteries? Well, the mysteries of the gospel. The thing which has now been revealed in Christ, but which had been hidden from the foundations of the world. The thing which remains mysterious, even though it has been revealed. The thing which is beyond how we would have conceived of things had it not been revealed. Namely, that you sinners are now redeemed in Christ Jesus, apart from your works, by faith alone. This and everything that ties in with it are the mysteries. In modern parlance, we might call them the strange things, right? In fact, the Latin translation of this word is where we get the word sacrament from, the term we use for holy baptism and holy communion. And the sacraments are indeed quite strange things. The idea that in a splash of water, in a little wafer of bread, a thimbleful of wine, we are redeemed and made righteous before God. Very strange, very mysterious. And it is the job of those in the office of the holy ministry to ensure that the mysteries are applied to you in word and sacrament, and that you are instructed in these things. And so Paul says, what matters is if these stewards are faithful, i.e., is this what they are doing or not? Are they applying the word that Jesus sent? Are they instructing people in that word? This is what matters. But, he says, the final word on this matter is left to the Lord. Don't pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, he says. Now, this does not mean that we cannot say anything good or bad until that day. Otherwise, the Lord would not have needed to give us the instructions he did in Matthew 18 about what to do when someone sins against you. But what Paul is doing here is encouraging a bit of humility on our part, to not pronounce final judgment even over our own faithfulness. Wait until the day comes, the day on which all things will be revealed. And this is where our passage connects back with us and with our concerns during this Advent season. That coming day will reveal the truth, will bring to light all things hidden in darkness, will disclose the purposes of human hearts, the purposes of our hearts. As I said, that might seem a bit frightening to you. It seems a bit frightening to me to think that I'm going to have to account for everything that's been in here, right? So I understand. You may have hoped that if you could keep your secrets secret until the day of your death, that they would die with you. But this is not the case. As you know, God already knows them anyway. He even knows the ones you've forgotten about. There will be an accounting. We will all have to own up. Now, some of you may perhaps worry at this point that some of those secret sins, those secret purposes of the heart, will somehow rise up and cut you off from the Lord your God. But just the opposite is true for those who believe. In fact, it is this very accounting which, in some sense, robs those sins of such a power and confirms your redemption in Christ Jesus. In a way, this is what we are practicing every Sunday when we all stand together and confess that we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and left undone, that we have not loved him with our whole heart, that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are practicing this already. As we were reminded in that practice, so I tell you now, each and every one of those sins, even those that are long forgotten, and the ones you have yet to commit, let alone forget, have all been paid for by the cross of Christ. In fact, it is the cross of Christ, your redemption in him, that enables you to brave that coming day, to have the courage to own up to all that you have done. Not because you will be able to pretend as if you always did what you were supposed to, or even that your errors were excusable ones, but because all of the times that you didn't do what you were supposed to will be shown as accounted to Christ and his sacrifice for you. God won't help you maintain the farce, won't help you keep up the pretense that you've just been an angel all along. Rather, he will show that he has indeed fully and entirely dealt with the fact that you have not, the fact that you've been a sinner from the word go. He has dealt with it by paying for your sin himself. Your sins are forgiven. It is because he has told you this ahead of time, enacting it in the present, that you are able to face that day in confidence, as St. John tells us in his first letter, the same first letter of John from which in chapter 1 we get the words we repeat every Sunday as we do that practice, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I always love that bit, the way it's structured there. It emphasizes you're the only one you're fooling, right? But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By these things you turn, as I've preached about a bit this Advent season, away from the things temporal, the approval of others and your own self-approval, to the things eternal, God's love for you in Christ Jesus. You await the day when not only will your justification be revealed, but also all those good works which our Lord himself has worked in you. But until that day, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.